Amen. Amen. Praise God, that was powerful. And it's an honor to bring the Word of God. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will remain forever. And God's Word is above all things. You know, it's final. I'm just going to pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Word, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for every person in the congregation, oh God. Father, I pray you would open our ears, Lord, to hear, Lord. And Father, our hearts would be receptive to receive, Lord, what you have to say, oh God. And Father, I just pray for a stillness over this place, Lord. I just declare it, Lord, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we are protected by you, Lord, and we're under your covering, oh God, in Jesus' name. Is David here from the worship team? No, Dave. Dave was downstairs. I was actually printing off the sermon this morning, and he was up playing. And I just feel the Lord, it's a simple word, but the Lord said he loves you. And he loves when you play. He loves you playing the guitar. You know, your father. And I just get the sense of the joy of God when you were playing this morning. You know, and he delights in you. You know, so God bless you, brother. And Ailish, the Lord gave me a word this morning, well, the other day actually. I seen you mixing a baby bowl, like baby food. And the Lord gave me forward a revelation this morning. He says that you're a mother in the faith. And also I seen you laying out seeds, but I seen the water of God coming. And what I believe the Lord was saying, it's the Spirit and the Word. That you're a woman that releases the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God is on you, but also the Word of God. And that, you know, that you hear God, but that you will release that in the kingdom of God. Amen? So, guys, this week we've been doing the book of Ephesians over the last few weeks. And there's six chapters in the letter of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote it. I was just reading a little bit up over the last few days about Paul, and he was sold out. You know, I don't know if everyone's familiar, but Paul was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, but he was zealous for his tradition, his religion, and he was going out arresting Christians for coming against the Jewish faith. And he ended up meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he ended up having an encounter with God that changed everything for him. And when he got the revelation of who Jesus was, straight away he went out and he started to preach the gospel. That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. That Jesus Christ is salvation and redemption is found in him. So he was just sold out. But in Ephesians 4 this week, we're going to be talking about unity and maturity in the body of Christ. But most importantly, unity in the faith, you know. And in this passage, Paul is a prisoner. He's in prison. He was in prison when he wrote this letter to the Ephesians. And he wrote other letters as well. He wrote Colossians and he wrote Philippi. And he was a prisoner. He was in chains for the gospel. And even before he went into these particular areas, Paul knew by the Spirit of God that he was going to be put in prison at certain times. He knew that he was going to be whipped. He knew he was going to be beaten for the sake of the gospel. You know? So he was sold out. And his heart was fully behind what the Lord Jesus was doing, and salvation and healing and deliverances, and he was moving powerfully in God. And you can see that in a number of, but you can, if you read the book of Acts as well, you'll see all of that, of his life and his missionary journeys and the whole lot. But anyway, today we're looking at Ephesians 4. And what I'm going to do is, like, it's going to be a topical sermon. I'm going to use a bit of Ephesians 4, but I'm going to be going into other parts of Scripture. Because that's the way I believe the Holy Spirit has led me. And God wants to speak to us today, each one of us. And so Ephesians 4, just one sec. Praise God. The topic over, it says unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, this is Paul, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Excuse me. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you received, you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, the grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why he says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his trail and gave gifts to men. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we have all reached unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature and attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to just stop there. Maybe read it in your own time as well during the week. But I'm going to stop at that. And I'm going to just go back to the first three verses. And he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then. And it's like Paul, he's really urging the believers. He's calling to them. He's speaking to them. He's encouraging them. He's saying, I'm a prisoner in chains. I'm locked up for the gospel. There's chains around my arms. But he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And what I'm going to look at today is what causes disunity in the body. What can cause difficulties within in the body, in our family, in relationships, in all of these things that the enemy can try to come in. And the little foxes that around the vineyards can try to come in and cause disunity, cause separation, cause us to be against one another rather than for one another. Because the enemy is a liar, the Bible says, and he's the father of lies. And he might be telling you lies about me and me lies about you, because that's the way he works, you know. So in a book called Landmines in the Path of Believers, Dr. Charles Stanley identifies unseen traps that lay in the path of every believer. These landmines can cause disunity and difficulty within the body of Christ. But there is good news. We can point it here. God's word is our landmine detector. God's word is our landmine detector. The word of God says, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. For example, Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Today we are going to look at a few different landmines that can cross our paths as believers. The first landmine is pride. And pride can hit any of our lives at any given time. It's subtle. And sometimes we can be blinded by pride. You know? And to be honest, going back a while ago there, the Lord spoke to me in a dream. He says, you're full of pride. And I didn't even know it. So sometimes we can be walking in things and we're not even aware of it until the Lord shines his light on it. Until the Lord reveals it to us. Until the Holy Spirit comes in. And it's not a condemnation thing. Because, you know, God opposes the proud. You know what I mean? But he gives grace. He exalts the humble. So pride based on the world's values always breeds competition, which leads to division and strife. Instead of thinking I must get ahead, ask God to help you to be the best you can be at work, at home, in your community, and in the church. God wants us to learn, and this is an important thing, God wants us all to learn how to work together to accomplish all that He has given us to do. And in Proverbs 29:23, it says, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. You know? I remember, I'd be amazed that when I'm reading the Bible sometimes, some of the stories. I remember Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know if any of you remember that. It's in the book of Daniel, I think. And he got that puffed up. He had a huge kingdom, and it was mighty, and it was powerful, and he was exalted above all other things. But he ended up getting so full of pride, he started saying, look what I've built. Look what I've done. And the writing came on the wall. And God sent him out into the field for 7 years and humbled him. And but the wonderful thing about it was that after 7 years, God gave him double of what he already had. And I thought that this was a king that didn't worship God. It was a king that he wasn't of the kingdom of Israel. He was outside. He was a king of Babylon. And he was outside the covenant. He was outside of God's order, if you want to say, of things, as in the blessing of God coming through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then down through Christ and onto us. And another one is jealousy or envy. A jealous person is fearful of being replaced by someone or something. The solution to jealousy is not denying it, because you can never defeat envy and resentment on your own. It is found in admitting it to the Lord, asking God to forgive you, and then praying that He would help you to see your life from His perspective. And God has chosen each one of us. He's called us. We're all different parts of the body, each one of us. And we're all significant. You know, the body of Christ is an amazing thing. And we're all brought into it by the grace of God. But these things can be little foxes that come in and try to cause division and separation. James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. James 4:2-3, you desire, but you do not have. You kill, you covenant, but you can't get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask God, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you have on your own pleasures. When I was reading that, I was like, oh, to be honest, you know, I was like, oh, that's a bit heavy, Lord, you know. But do you know what? There's great freedom. God always wants to bring us into a place of freedom. He always wants to bring us into a place of purpose. He always wants to use us. But these things, as I said, are little landmines that come in our paths that try to take us off of the path that God has us on. And the purpose that He has for our lives. He's always coming with love. Everything that is in God is wrapped up in love and grace. And that's the way He delivers it to us. Sometimes it might be like, oh, but when the grace of God is on it and the love of God is on it, you know that God is love and that He does this because He loves you and He's correcting you and He's putting you back onto the right path, because you won't walk on another landmine. Insecurity. One of the most important steps is to ask God to expose the problem of insecurity. As painful as it may seem, be willing to open up your heart to Him and confess your feeling. This is a key step to healing. It is an essential step to gaining God's strength for your situation. And we can all be insecure at different times, if we're honest. I know I do be. And it's something God is healing me of. He's bringing me through it. But it comes back to that thing of relying on God and depending on God, that we're not dependent on ourselves. So Philippians 4:13, it's a very scripture that's quoted a lot, but it's the truth. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, and you can do all things through Him who gives you strength. Compromise. You do not have to compromise what you know is right. If you are unsure about a situation, ask God to provide the wisdom and discernment you need. He always will. And if there is a question in your mind regarding right or wrong, wait for Him to make His way clear. Ephesians 6:10-14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. I was thinking that the devil's scheme is a plan. It's a strategy that someone has against you. Now, guys, we're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But we're not in the word. And we're not in fellowship. And we're not ordering, sharpening, ordering, the Bible says. The Bible says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeing who he will devour. And I'm telling you, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You know? And whether that's whatever, drink, drugs, sex, anything. I've seen more people being took out in these areas. And some people aren't alive today because of that. And it's serious. So I'll go over that. It says, the devil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm. And that's for each one of us. He talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, and the shoes that are fitted with the gospel of peace. And I heard a woman speaking one time. And we're always trying to find out, what are all these? What's all this? The helmet, the breastplate, the sword, everything, you know? And I thought about it. Jesus is our righteousness, the breastplate. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is the word. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the truth. And all, when she was saying all of these things, it was like, wow. I realized Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our righteousness. He is our hope. He is our future. So we put our trust in him. Unforgiveness towards others. We are to forgive so that we may enjoy God's goodness without feeling the weight of anger burning deep within our hearts. Forgiveness does not mean we deny the fact that what has happened to us was wrong. Instead, we put our burdens onto the Lord and allow him to carry them for us. Matthew 18:21-22. And this is just scripture confirming what I'm talking about. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? And even sometimes, you know, Jesus is talking about the body. He's talking about each other. He's saying your brothers and your sisters who sins against you. Because we're all weak in and of ourselves. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, the Bible says. So our success in God is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Everything that we do, when we're coming out of a place of, it's like what Shara was saying downstairs this morning, of sitting at the feet of Jesus. When I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus, and the more I sit at the feet of Jesus, everyone benefits. I'm more loving, I'm more caring, I'm more tolerant, I'm more patient, I've more understanding for people, because I'm sitting, who am I hanging out with? Jesus. So it goes on, he says, and I was reading this, and I never thought like this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked him, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. Look, just think of Peter, the character that he was. He was, you know, how many times do I have to forgive, Lord? And then Jesus said, not 7 times, but 77 times, you know. I was thinking what his reaction was probably like to him, you know. And but it's the grace of God and the love of God that keeps us and keeps us in relationship with each other and fellowship with each other. Unforgiveness towards oneself. When we refuse to forgive ourselves, we run the risk of suffering deep heartache and depression. The coin that can follow us through a lifetime. And if we fail to accept the forgiveness God extends to us, we can end up suffering the same emotions over and over and over of guilt and shame and remorse. And sometimes when we come into the church first, you know, someone's saying, your sins are forgiven. Jesus has died on the cross for you. He has took all your sin. He has paid the price for you. And there was an exchange done on the cross. Everything that was due us as a punishment, a payment, because God had to judge sin, he put on his son. And we end up going free because of what Jesus has done. He has paid the price for our sin. We can come to the point where we truly enjoy the goodness and joy of God's blessing. And in Romans 8:1 it says, Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's for us all, guys. We don't have to go around carrying guilt or shame or remorse or anything like that. And it's the love of God that brings us to that place. Disappointment. You may feel as though your life is a mess, but never forget that God is infinite in knowledge, can take the most troublesome circumstances and turn them around for the good. The question to ask whenever trials come is this: Lord, what do you want me to learn in this difficulty? How can I become more like you as I walk through this situation, travel this road, and most importantly, submit to your will? James 1 and 2, chapter 1, verse, sorry, 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Fear. When our hearts are full of fear, we won't try new adventures. This is because fear limits our ability to achieve the goals that God wants us to reach and enjoy. Here is the age-old truth about stepping out on faith. It's much better to try and fail than to shrink back in fear and live far below the level God has for us to live. And sometimes, guys, to be honest, I remember the first time I preached, I was terrified, shaking. And I still do be very nervous before I preach. I do be praying like you wouldn't know what before the meeting, to be totally honest, you know. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because I'm dependent on God. But still, you know, being honest, it's fears I've worked through and am working through. And we grow through all these things. 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gave us power, love, and self-discipline. Immorality. Never tell yourself that what you are doing will never hurt someone else. It does. He knows the way, and I thought this was beautiful. He knows the way to bring fulfillment apart from sin. That God knows how to satisfy you. God knows how to make you content without running here and running there and running everywhere to taste from other things. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's Him that we need. It's Him that meets all of our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 4, 25 and 27. Give careful thought to the paths for your paths, for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right nor the left. Keep your foot from evil. And we just need to be wise. I remember over 20 years ago now, I was a chronic drug addict, and I was a broken man. I was lost. I was a prisoner to my sin. And it's like that scripture in Romans when Paul, he talks about in Romans 7, I think it's verse 14, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing them. But it's no longer me doing them, but the sin that lives in me. And that was my life. I tried everything to change. I had best of intentions. I went to treatment. I went to detoxes. I went everywhere. But I still had this nature within me until I came to Jesus. And when I came to Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus. And over time, I became free of drug addiction, alcoholism, cigarettes, and I could go on and go on and go on and go on. And that's over 20 years. And that's what Jesus has done. So in and of myself, I was hopeless and helpless. But when I bring Jesus in, there was hope. The Bible actually says that He's the God of all hope. And the Holy Spirit has poured into our heart. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Slothfulness or laziness. God expects us to live disciplined lives to defeat laziness. I have to be honest. I never thought this really, that I was lazy or anything in ways. And I am, being honest, you know. But anyway, to defeat laziness, We must be committed to the task and to God. People who achieve success have several things in common. Ability, commitment, discipline, desire, and a stickability. They do not give up when life becomes difficult, and it does sometimes. For us all. You know? 2 Thessalonians 3:13. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. So the Word of God teaches us to stay on the right path and avoid landmines. Proverbs 2, moral benefits of wisdom. And it says, my son, my daughter, if you accept my words, and that's a powerful truth, if you accept my words, this is the Word of God. All of it, you know. And I believe God is going to release a hunger. I believe God is going to release things onto us later on. And he wants to reveal things to us. He wants to show things to us. Because apart from the Spirit, the Bible says that the Word of God is alive and it's active. So apart from the Spirit of God revealing things to us, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God is our teacher. So we're not dependent on ourselves. Especially when we come to the church first, and even if I'm being honest, we can all fall back into it. But when we realize that we're not dependent on ourselves, that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So when we come to God and say, listen, Lord, will you teach me? And I believe God loves that. So, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, and search for it as for hidden treasure. Go after God. Read his word. Spend time with him. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. This is beautiful. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair in every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discernment will protect you. Understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from ways whose ways are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the presence of evil, whose paths are crooked and whose are diverse in their ways. Wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. Now, guys, I'm doing a thing in college at the moment. And that was another huge thing for me to step into. But anyway, I'm doing a module at the moment. It's called Culture, Identity and the Media. And it's all about how the media shape culture and shape identity. And I have to say, I'm blown away by it. Who owns the media, what they put out, what they don't put out. And I was just thinking about it. It's all trying to lure us in. There's billboards everywhere. There's TV. There's the internet. There's newspapers. Everything is trying to draw us in. It's like a magnet. It's all trying to bring us to itself. Buy me. Look at me. Look at this. Look at that. And before you know it, you start thinking you need stuff. You know? And it's like a blindness. And because the Bible says the God of this age, he's the God that is influencing all this. And he's the one that's depositing into people's lives. I was even thinking this morning for my own son. I have a little son, Elijah. He's just over 1 and a month. And I was thinking to myself, gee, the stuff that's on the TV now, you know, that can be deposited into somebody's life. And that's what it's like. It's depositing things. We're talking about the Word of God, storing it up within you. But what's coming through the internet? What's coming through TV? What's coming through all of this that's filling their minds and has an effect on us? Surely, Jorge, it goes on about the adulterous wife and about the seductor who has left the partner of her youth to ignore the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and to the and the whore paths to the spirits of the dead, which is a strong word. Now we go, none who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Though you will walk in the ways of a good man and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Now just to clear something up, we're under the grace of God. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. We're born again of the Spirit of God. But whereas things like this come into the thing, I've seen guys, unfortunately, it's the truth, dabbling in addiction, going back, and they're saved, I believe, 1,000,000%. But their purpose, their inheritance is robbed. They're being robbed by the... And who's the thief? The devil, you know? And I remember even saying, he says, don't worry. Jesus says, don't worry about him who can kill the body. It's the soul, you know? We're going on. Proverbs 3. Going back to the thing about God directing our steps and God directing our paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your steps. Psalm 37 verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. Isaiah 30 verse 21. Whenever you turn to the right nor the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active. God's word is alive and it's active. I was thinking about that even. That is powerful. You know? Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the void in soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it's God's word. And spirit, look what I said earlier to Ailish. The word of God will do its work. When it's sent out, it will accomplish that for which it was sent. And I don't know if any of you remember a song years ago. I remember we were kids, The Safe Cross Croath. And it was all around safety, around walking across the road. I don't know, I think it was taught in schools when we were young. And it says, remember one, look for a safe place. You know, Shara was talking earlier about, you know, storms will come. Things will come and rattle you. Things will come and knock on your door. Deaths will come. Sicknesses will come. Family problems will come. Financial problems will come. But where do we run to when all of these things happen? Do we run to God? Or do we run outside of that? And look to other things outside of God. The Bible says he's a high tower. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our fortress. When you run into a fortress, you're protected. Remember too, don't hurry. Stop and wait. Stop and wait on the Lord. And that's what God is saying. Wait on me. Don't run ahead of me. Don't run before me, behind me. Guys, for us all, God has everything in store. Everything. God wants to use us more than we want to be used. I've just seen God doing things, and that's the way he does it. Remember, three, look out all around and listen before you cross the road. Listen to God. What is God saying? Where does God want you? What season has God got you in? And sometimes that's so important. Because you don't want to be running here, there, and everywhere. You just need to know, this is where the Lord has me. This is what he has for me. Because he'll give you the grace to do it. Over the last while, like, I've had to step out of different things. I've loved coming to the Thursday meeting for a long time. And I've been up in Dolphins Barn as well for a period of time. But the Lord said to me, he says, for now, he says, your ministry is to your son. I have over a one-year-old, and I have to go and provide for my family to go to work. But I have to say, the joy I'm having with him, because God is in it. I'm just blown away by it. You know, we can do things in our own strength. But I tell you, when God, we can minister to our children in the Holy Spirit. We can impart things of God into our children from such a young age. You know? And it's beautiful. Remember, four, let all the traffic pass you. There is much traffic in our walk with God. Let it pass you. And the word the Lord gave me is our kings. There can be many things that can try grab our attention, can try bring us off course, can try, there's something happening over here or there's something happening over there. And I know myself in the church, in Liberty Church, thank God by the grace of God, this is the only church I've been in. And I don't mean that, you know, God called you to different churches or there's different seasons or whatever. But this is where I'm meant to be. And the word of the Lord, he says, the Lord said, go out. This is in Kings. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mount of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? The beauty of God, you know. Elijah was out there running. He was out there seeing great victory. He was on the mount. He's on Mount Carmel. He called down fire. He's seeing the prophets of Baal being slaughtered before him. And then he runs out of fear. Fear gripped him. And he ended up running. And he ended up in a place that he shouldn't have been in. But yet God just brings us back lovingly and caringly. Remember five. Then walking straight across. Just keep walking, guys. Just put your head up if discouragement, disappointment, or any of these things what I've said have hit you. Just get up again and brush yourself off. And six, remember six, keep watching. We need people to keep watching in the church. We need people to be coming to the meetings. We need people to lay their lives down for the prayer ground. I was up last week with Ailish and Louise upstairs, and I have to say it was powerful. And but on the Thursday night and all the other things that God is doing within the body is powerful. In concluding, God wants us to come to Him. Every one of us faces landmines each day. One person's landmine may be different to someone else's. But every one of us face them daily. The key to overcoming them is to look to Jesus and to see what His Word says about overcoming them. We need to trust in Him, and this requires faith. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Knowing God's Word is so important. We need to have it deep within our heart, deep within us. The Bible calls the Word of God our sword. It's what we use when we're under attack. We take the Word of God out and we start declaring what God is saying. Like what Sharon was saying this morning. I have to say, even there was fear coming on me, and the minute I started declaring that, it broke off. I felt it breaking off me at the altar here. So I started saying, because I was like, my mind is torment. The minute I started saying, no, it's well with my mind, it's well with my soul, I just felt it lifting on me. So that's God, and that's the truth, and that's the power of declaring the Word. The challenge for the week, see what landmines applies to you and begin to look up scriptures that you can use to overcome it. If you struggle with fear, there's a scripture in Psalm, I think it's 34 verse 4, says, I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all of my fears. Or wherever that may be. I remember I came to the church and I was a few years in recovery, and I was going to many different things, supports, and the scripture came to me was that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. When I knew God was greater than anything, I knew I never had to pick up drink or drugs again, unless I chose to. That God was more powerful than anything. So there's nothing unless I choose to do it. Begin to memorize these scriptures. Read them daily. Write them on the post notes. Stick them around the house. Meditate on God's word. And guys, I don't know if the worship team there can just come up, back up. And this is what the word I believe the Lord gave me. It's in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And what I've seen is I've seen all glasses being filled. And that's what I believe. I believe the Lord wants to pour out on each one. And I really believe this, even as I'm saying, that the Lord wants to pour out. But he's going to pour out an anointing that you're going to hear him. We all need to hear the voice of God. I was here 2 weeks ago and I was at the top of the altar. And Noel was praying, our pastor Noel was praying with different people. And I seen him, I had a vision of him putting oil in my ear. Straight away I ran over to him. And that's the truth. I ran over to him, he poured the oil out. Or he released whatever he released over me. The next day I went home. And the Lord gave me that sermon. And it was like that. It was quickened. It wasn't like I spent a week. That was one, and I don't mean this being one or two, the Lord just quickened that within a few minutes. And that's what I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit. Quickening things to our spirit. Highlighting things in the Bible. Illuminating things. Because the Word of God is alive. And that, guys, I ask you all to stand up. Just to receive. Thank you, Lord. And just to say as well, if anyone has stood on a landmine or anyone has been hurt or needs healing, come to the front. We're going to pray for healing for people. Father, we just want to thank you for today, Lord. Lord, we just want to say that we love you, Lord, that we adore you, Lord Jesus, that we magnify your name, Lord. And Father, I just release that word, Lord, of the releasing, Lord God, of the filling up, Lord, of every person, Lord, in this place, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. The Bible says that, just the Lord said the quickening that to me there, that we have the mind of Christ. And that we can know, when you have the mind of Christ, who was God, you can know the mind of God. And that's for each one of us, guys. There's none of us outside of that circle. We're all in it. Regardless if you're one day in the church or 100 years. So, Father, we just want to say, Lord, that we love you, Lord God. That we adore you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Father, I pray for such an opening of hearts in this place, Lord God. And, Lord, I pray, Lord God. Father, even where you need to highlight things to us, Lord. Father, around the landmines, if any of them landmines, Lord, that we need to come, Lord, and surrender to you, Lord. That we need to repent of even, oh God. What the Lord showed me as well was a garden being raked. And there was all stones being took out of it. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to take things out of our lives. Why? Because even in a river, sometimes stones can block the flow. And sometimes they need to be took out. Praise you, Lord. We're going to go back into worship now. And guys, if any of you want to come forward, come forward. We have guys that will pray with us. Amen.